Hi, I'm Andrew Sanchez, and I'm a lecturer in social anthropology at Cambridge. Today, I'm going to give you a sample lecture in social anthropology. And in that lecture, we'll be thinking through what social anthropology can teach us about fair trade. But first, I'll start the lecture by explaining what social anthropology is. Social anthropology is the study of how human beings organize and experience their societies. Now that means we have a very broad remit in terms of the types of things we can study. Things that we look at as a discipline include questions such as how religion and ethnicity are constituted, how they might relate to our personal identities and our politics. We also look at things like economics and work to ask whether the broad models of the social sciences are in any way applicable cross-culturally. We also consider the basic building blocks of social life, which in many societies are the areas of kinship, sex, and gender. To do this work, we use a research method called ethnography. Ethnographic research is largely qualitative, and it takes place in periods of fieldwork that last between 6 months and 2 years at a time. It's integral to the method that the research is conducted in the local language, and an ethnographer will aim to collect data by immersing themselves within a culture, and they'll use that experience to produce a holistic analysis of their field site. As a discipline, we assume that it's not possible to understand any given issue within a society without also understanding the broader social structure and culture in which it occurs. Now, this research can be done in any context. So there are social anthropologists conducting research about contemporary life in big cities. There are also anthropologists looking at life in villages and so on. And we do that kind of work in every country of the world. So good anthropology is supposed to be careful, contextualized within the history and the politics of the local environment, and should also in some way be explanatory. And what we mean by that is that our job is not to collect facts. Our job is to say what those facts mean, and ideally we should say something that couldn't be said by someone else using a different research method. So in doing that, we as a discipline are trying to rethink how the social sciences understands the world. Today's lecture applies that anthropological method to the study of fair trade. The lecture is about how distant communities of people spread all across the globe are related to one another through the commodities they produce and consume. And we're going to see today how exchanging things on that global scale would change the lives of ordinary people and how it affects the way in which all of us think about ourselves. To think this through, we're going to discuss anthropological research that was published in 2012 by the American anthropologist Paige West. This work follows fair trade coffee as it makes its way from farms in Papua New Guinea, pictured in the map at the bottom of the screen, all the way to coffee shops in Europe, Australia, and the United States. This study is an interesting one because what it does is to take the anthropological method and apply it to a really different series of global societies that would all be linked together by the single commodity of coffee. By doing this, the study tells us something about how global politics and culture and economy works. And what the study argues ultimately is that although buying fair trade products would seem to be a politically engaged choice for a consumer, it might in fact be a perfect expression of the logics of capitalism, by which people come to understand the world principally through the commodities that they consume. The study begins in a village called Maimafu, which is located right up in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. Maimafu is a place where coffee wasn't introduced until the mid-20th century, but it's now become the main source of income for most people living in the region. These are people that farm the coffee for export. What Paige West is able to show in this study is that those farmers in Papua New Guinea use the commodity of coffee to imagine the modern global world around them that they are an important economic part of. Now, what this means then is that in Papua New Guinea, coffee is a symbol of modernity and of a participation in a complex global economy. Paige West then draws on anthropological fieldwork that she also conducted in Hamburg, London, and Brisbane. And what she shows is how the image of coffee, the idea of it, is transformed for international buyers and consumers. So rather than being perceived as something inherently modern that links global people together in new ways, coffee from Papua New Guinea comes to represent an idealized vision of poor, primitive life in a part of the world that's distant and completely different for most of the people drinking the coffee. Paige West speaks to coffee traders based in Europe, and she's told a story that describes how an adventurous buyer for a large global coffee house first brought Papua New Guinean beans to the rest of the world. The story is a revealing one, and it goes like this. Apparently, the coffee grown in the highlands of Papua New Guinea was the best in the world. But the problem is that very few people would ever be able to taste it because the place was hard to get to. That is until one day a brave coffee buyer was dispatched from a trading house in Europe. They trekked into the region, they met with local people, and they struck a deal to buy these magic beans and bring them back out into the rest of the world. The problem, however, in this story is that the person doing the buying didn't know how to pay the farmers the money he owed them. They didn't have bank accounts and they would only accept payment in cash. But in the story, there was so much intertribal war in this region that the roads were unsafe to drive on with large amounts of money. The only solution was to fly up there in a helicopter and drop the money from the sky like a Red Cross food package. West observes that it's this type of exotic and probably untrue mythology that international coffee traders are using to add value to their products from Papua New Guinea. West's ethnographic analysis moves on and takes her from Papua New Guinea and eventually to hipster coffee shops in London, which are environments where people's decisions about the things they buy and sell are an integral part of their sense of self. What she shows is that people in wealthy urban societies have begun to demand a wider variety of choice in the things they consume, and they also come to define themselves through those choices. So now they want to be able to choose between Brazilian coffee, Sumatran coffee, and Papua New Guinean coffee. And the important point here is that these things feel like personal cultural choices for individuals. But Paige West is able to show how those choices themselves relate to a changing economic demand of the industry itself. In a context where coffee production now takes place all around the world, there are more and more products flooding the market all the time. As a result, traders have to find increasingly ingenious ways of making one product stand out to the consumer above another. When Paige West visits a major coffee trading company in London, the traders are very clear to her that the objective quality of coffee from Papua New Guinea might have declined in recent years. So what they do is to try and add value to the commodity through marketing. And how they do that is by providing consumers with false images of allegedly simple people growing their products in wild places. And they do so that people who will buy their coffee will see it as a scarce resource and accordingly pay a higher price for it. It's an interesting part of the data that the European coffee traders who West speaks to are honest and concerned about their own marketing practices. They know full well that consumers want to see Papua New Guineans wearing headdresses and face paint. But they themselves know that that's a misrepresentation. This type of imagined identification with the people that produce our commodities feeds into certification practices that would try to set one commodity apart from another, practices like fair trade. Fair trade practices allow people to feel socially responsible and to feel as though they're acting as political agents, while also increasing the price of the things that they're buying. Paige West argues that certified and fair trade coffees are what she calls neoliberal coffees. The term neoliberal describes a school of economic thought which argues that markets will function most efficiently when they're left to their own devices. The term neoliberal also implies that people in those environments will see their engagements with capitalism as an expression of their personal rights and personal identities. West says that fair trade coffee is neoliberal for two reasons. Firstly, the coffees themselves only exist because of economic pressure that's placed upon poorer nations to stop producing food for their own local markets and to start producing cash crops for global markets. All of the new coffees flooding our supermarket shelves in recent years are directly related to forced changes in how Papua New Guineans and other people structure their economies. Secondly, neoliberalism entails the creation of a consumer citizen, which is someone who sees themselves as a person that makes claims about themselves and performs political action through the act of buying things. So while the decision to buy the organically grown coffee beans from wherever might seem like an act of resistance to neoliberalism, West's anthropological analysis says those acts are in fact entirely dependent upon neoliberalism. West uses ethnography among Western coffee consumers to show that people who buy fair trade will often feel a positive ethical sense from their choices. But she also believes that her research shows that those same people could simultaneously be deeply ignorant about the relations of production behind their commodities. So to give you a sense of this, every fair trade cup of coffee that's sold would take a farmer in Paige West's field site 3 minutes of labour just to harvest the beans. Now that means that consumers in wealthy nations could feasibly drink the coffee quicker than it could be picked, which tells you something quite basic about what the market believes some people's time is worth relative to others. And even when they're being paid fair trade prices for their goods, the people in Papua New Guinea that Paige West is talking about are still only earning 15 cents an hour. And rather than picking the beans in some kind of timeless, primitive idyll, the way in which the coffee is grown and sold is subject to all types of very modern conflicts about money and labour and exploitation. So on this basis, the fair trade, primitive peasant idea obscures the true nature of how our commodities make their way to us. West concludes by asking whether or not people should buy fair trade coffees at all. She argues that doing so is often unlikely to help small farmers. And that's because the basic structure of the economy is such that farmers will bear the brunt of costs associated with production, while the value added further down the chain by traders and marketers is what you're paying for. And that doesn't make its way back down the chain to the producers. And she closes with a very interesting point, which is that she thinks that we as consumers quite possibly need the personal touch in our coffee. And we need that personal touch in order to make a decision to buy from Papua New Guinea as opposed to Brazil or somewhere else. However, she shows that when we sell things by commodifying people's culture, we make them sellable by virtue of them being fashionable. And we also say that the fashionable object of Papua New Guinean coffee is inextricably related to Papua New Guinean people. The problem with this is that sooner or later, Papua New Guinean coffee will become unfashionable like everything else. And at that time, Papua New Guineans themselves will have become unfashionable, with the effect that people in wealthy nations will care less about whether or not those people are being paid a decent wage. So that's why Paige West is critical of the certified coffee industry. She doesn't say that you should not buy fair trade coffee, and this lecture isn't intended to convince you of that either. Rather, the analysis suggests that you should not think that you can do politics solely through consumption. So a careful anthropological analysis of this topic shows that the person who engages with the world through the things they consume also tends to define the world through things. And the problem is that the images that are associated with things are constructed with an intention to add market value. And those images may not be true. Social anthropology is the discipline that exists to figure things like this out. So that's social anthropology. It's the discipline that uses original research to look carefully at the world and to figure out how our societies work. If you want to know more about anthropology, there are suggestions for further reading at the end of this video. In the meantime, thanks for watching.